Let's see here. Today is 24 October. We're getting to the end of the month. We're supposed to get some cool weather this week, aren't we? I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. Biden says, it's all your fault. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see here. We're going to get started first with a couple folks that walked in. They are coming from Seattle, Washington. Imagine that. Wow. The den of iniquity. And I mean, it's a good, well, they're only from here temporarily. They're going back there. But yes, it's Svat and Julia, and it's such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for making the effort. They're here. They were staying in Northport, and then they're in Nokomis today, and they're going to look for a place for Airbnb or something for another week or so. And they have children that did not come to church today, but they did, and it's good to see your smiling faces. And then we also have Mitch in Maryland. Everybody, make sure you say hi to them. They've been here before, and they're from down in Venice, but they decided to come up to the church today. So it's so wonderful to have you both here. Thank you for coming. Okay, we got some news starting out from Israel today. From Aretz Shiva, report, Iranian vice president threatens to hold Iran's 10,000 Jews hostage. Yeah, this is late last week, but Iranian vice president for economic affairs, Moshe Razai, warned that the country's 10,000 Jews were hostage against Israel. The Iranian regime countdown organization wrote a post on its Telegram account that Razai said in a speech that the Israeli government knows very well that if it makes a mistake, the regime will treat the 10,000 Jews living in Iran differently. Sounds like a threat to me. This is the first time Iran has threatened the country's Jewish community instead of threatening Israel directly. This is the same nut job that also wanted to, before the elections, kidnap, I think it was 1,000 Americans and charge $1 million each to pay their debts. Yeah, there you go. From the Jerusalem Post, jabbed U.S. tourists to enter Israel with personal health declaration. Ooh, vaccinated tourists from the U.S. will be allowed to enter Israel with their own health declaration. The visitors will be exempt from isolation, provided that they meet the criteria of those who are considered inoculated in Israel. If they have a fresh vaccine booster or less than 6 months have passed since their first vaccine, they will be allowed to receive a green pass in Israel to go around. And if not, they need to be in isolation for 7 days and then take another PCR test. I will never go to Israel again. I can tell you that right now. I'm sorry to say that, but I've had my time of travel, I think for all travel, but certainly to the land of Israel. From the Times of Israel, German military planes fly over Jerusalem for the first time since World War I in a show of ties. This happened last week as well, but it's an interesting thing that happened. The IAF and German Luftwaffe aircraft performed a flyby over the Knesset in Jerusalem as a display of the close cooperation between the two countries and their militaries. This was the first time that German aircraft have flown over Jerusalem since World War I. The flyby expresses a strong partnership and connection between the air forces and the countries, as well as the commitment to continued cooperation in the future. The German military accidentally dropped two bombs over the Knesset. Okay, it didn't say that. All right, from I24, Israel approves $1.5 billion budget to target Iran. Smart move. Israel has allocated $1.5 billion to bolster its capabilities to attack Iran's nuclear facilities. And this will probably be necessary soon because our president, or our current administration, I should say, will do nothing about this. Absolutely nothing. The funds will go towards aircrafts, intel gathering, and dedicated armaments that can enable the attack. The intel gathering could include satellites. While Israel is planning for a possible military attack on the Iranian nuclear program, world powers are working to bring the Islamic Republic back to the negotiating table in Vienna in an attempt to restart talks on reviving the 2015 nuclear accord. Bad news there, but that's just what the world keeps wanting to do. Even after threatening to hold hostage 10,000 Jews in Iran, they still want to deal with these people. From All Israel, prominent Italian, some good news. politician makes historic call to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Now, this is not a popular voice there, but at least it is a voice there. The Jewish people and Jerusalem are one and the same, and therefore the relocation of the Italian embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem would be the moral, cultural, and politically obvious thing to do, Senator Matteo Salvini said during an event sponsored by the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast event in Rome. Using strong words, Salvini, former deputy prime minister under Giuseppe Conte, said the new cowardly shape of anti-Semitism is no longer just the hatred of Jews, but toward Israel. And they are both and the same as far as I'm concerned. So good job there. Okay, we got some news from Christianity Today from CNN. Dismissing Catholic abuse victims' lawsuit, ECHR rules Vatican cannot be sued in European courts. Remember last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about all of the, 70,000 or 300,000 people, whatever. It was some huge number in France that have been violated. Well, in the process, the people are suing and they're told that you can't sue the Vatican. Yeah, the Vatican cannot be sued in European courts because it is a sovereign state. Oh, that's how you get around these things. Yeah, the ECHR ruled in dismissing a suit from survivors of abuse by Catholic clergy. A group of 24 Belgian, French, and Dutch abuse survivors attempted to sue the Holy See and Catholic Church leaders in Belgian courts beginning in 2011, but courts in that country ruled they did not have jurisdiction over the Vatican. The abuse survivors fought their way up through the Belgian court system before bringing their suit to the European Court in 2017. The ECHR ruled 6-1 in the case of JC and others versus Belgium, saying that the Vatican is a sovereign state and cannot be sued, and that there has been nothing unreasonable or arbitrary in the Belgian courts adopting that position. The court's decision, however, is not final, and any party can request an appeal, known as a grand chamber review, within 3 months of the ruling. So I imagine they'll be doing that, but it's very pathetic. The Vatican, the mother of harlots, is able to hide behind these things. It's just, yes. It's appalling. From Reuters, Biden to meet with Pope, push for global minimum tax at G20 in Rome. That's a couple of, I won't say it. Anyway, from BCN, more than 100 Ohio clergy tell Biden, there is no king but Jesus over the vaccine mandate. I'm glad that these people came together and did this.
Yes.
Leading clergy representing over 100 congregations across the Buckeye Bible Belt are giving their disapproval of the national vaccine mandate and have written Biden in an open letter. Joe Biden can take his medical advice somewhere else. Yeah, we are not going to listen to him, says Pastor J.C. Church. That's a funny name for a pastor. J.C. and Church. I mean, he's got it all. One of the 101 clergy co-signers. The president and his godless admin have foot-in-mouth disease for every issue they touch. I mean, this is unbelievable. Since he does not have the scientific data nor the trust of the people, he uses fear to try to get compliance. Authoritarians in Marxist governments use this method. Pastor Church points out that as healthcare workers and military servicemen are losing their jobs for not taking the shot, illegal immigrants with no health screening are pouring across the U.S. border and are exempt from the Biden vaccine mandate. Because of this derelict policy, it is not surprising that there has been a threefold increase in COVID cases this year with the vaccine compared to last year when there was no vaccine. I would argue there's other reasons besides that, meaning specifically, but judging by his incompetent policies, this president, they have it in quotes, this president hates our country and has no interest in ending this pandemic. In their letter, the clergy said to combat a virus with an overall 99.74% survival rate, the federal government should not impose its own will on persons by mandating COVID-19 experimental vaccines and removing other alternative treatments. The people should have the ability to make their own health decisions. According to another clergy co-signer, forcing people to take the unproven COVID-19 experimental vaccine is immoral. Now remember, there are no approved vaccines in the United States of America. Please keep remembering that. They are correct in what they have said. Testing an experimental vaccine normally takes 10 years to properly evaluate its performance. It is immoral for persons to be forced within a matter of months to take an unproven COVID-19 vaccine experimental vaccination associated with nearly 15,000 deaths. Good morning, Miss Garrett. I'm glad you're here. I thought you might be sick today, so I'm very happy that you're not. 1.5 million reports of adverse events and at least 100,000 breakthrough COVID infections in vaccinated persons. While the Bible calls every human being precious, the Biden admin is treating its citizens like human guinea pigs. If the federal government really cared about its citizens, other time-proven methods of treatment would not be blacklisted by the FDA. With this micromanagement of medicine by the Biden admin, they may take chicken soup off shelves next to prevent us from treating the common cold. As this country is taking a turn for the worst, we are telling federal bureaucrats, we do not need your help. The Lord is our balm of Gilead. He will be our physician, and there will be healing for his people. The Ohio clergy closed their letter by saying this unilateral and divisive order is unethical and tantamount to what a totalitarian king would dictate. Furthermore, Mr. President, with respect to your vaccine mandate, we respond by saying we have no king but Jesus. Yes, is that somebody calling me? I better check this out. Yes, that was very good. Let's see here. Nope, that wasn't anybody calling me. Somebody's thing is binging. Okay, we got some news from Mideast and Africa today. Let's see here. From the Washington Post, Norway bow and arrow attack that killed five people appears to be terrorist attack. You probably heard about that, but I just wanted to let you know that they weren't sure if a Muslim shooting five people with a bow and arrow and killing them is a terrorist attack.
Right.
From Zero Hedge, conservative UK MP David Ames dies following church stabbing, 25-year-old Somalian arrested. Once again, they were wondering if it was a terrorist attack. Okay? If you can't identify the source of the problem, you will never take care of the problem. There you go. Zero Hedge. Islamic terrorist who planned Kalashnikov attack arrived in Spain as illegal boat migrant. He came over on one of these illegal boats and he was planning an attack. Guess what they're doing right now on the southern border? I mean, we've had how many reports out of people from the government and previous government that have said this is happening? The borders are wide open and these people are just coming rushing across the border because they can. An Islamic terrorist with ISIS links who planned to carry out a deadly Kalashnikov attack arrived in Spain as an illegal boat migrant, authorities have revealed. Spanish national police announced that an Algerian man known as the Sheikh arrived in Europe via boat in March last year before heading to Barcelona, where he attempted to set up a terrorist cell. There is no doubt that this is happening in the U.S., and the people that are responsible for allowing it to happen, every one of them should be imprisoned. Every single one of them should be in prison. From the Times of Israel, Israel kills ex-security prisoner, intel agent near the Golan border. This was a state-sanctioned assassination. Good job, Israel. The Israeli military shot dead a Syrian intel official who was believed to be working with Iran to establish a front against Israel on the Golan border in the Syrian town of Ain el-Tina along the frontier. The state-run Sana'a news agency said Midhat As-Saleh, a former security prisoner in Israel who later fled to Syria, served in parliament and joined the country's intel service, was targeted by gunfire, not by an airstrike. According to Al Jazeera, he was shot dead by an Israeli sniper as he stood near his home. The guy should not have been standing that close to the Israeli border, I can tell you that right now, near the border with Israel. The alleged assassination appeared to be tied to Israel's ongoing efforts to prevent Iran from establishing a permanent base of operations on the Golan border for attacks against Israel. As Saleh has in the past worked to recruit people from Majdal Shams, a town whose residents generally do not take Israeli citizenship and who often still identify with Damascus, to serve as assets of the Syrian government and gather intel in Israel. Well, he won't be doing that anymore. From the Times of Israel, Iran's Revolutionary Guard has key role in state-backed hack surge, Google warns. Once again, all these things are coming out of Iran week after week, and I keep reporting on it, and the admin and the European nations just want to get back and deal with these people. They want to deal with terrorists, with hackers, with just bad folks. The search engine giant was the second tech firm in less than a week to issue a warning about Iranian hackers, with the report coming days after Microsoft said a group targeted Israeli and American defense tech, and also warned that Iran had increased its hacks on Israel fourfold in the past year. Google said in a blog spot that an Iranian hacking group known as APT-35 or Charming Kitten was carrying out malware, yes, and phishing attacks in which the target was tricked into installing software or giving out personal information. The Post warned that Charming Kitten was targeting accounts in government, academia, journalism, NGOs, foreign policy, and national security, and had been active since 2017. The company said that Charming Kitten used the comprised website of an unnamed British university to carry out a phishing attack by asking for individuals to confirm their credentials and security information. Additionally, the hackers used conference-themed phishing emails to try to get users to click on compromised links. Google said the hackers have also started to utilize the Telegram API send message function of the encrypted app to gather details of unwitting visitors to their phishing sites. In a separate instance, Google said that APT-35 tried to upload a malware app to the Google Play Store. Once again, targeting our national security agencies, and we're dealing with them. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. And boy, did we find something interesting this week from the Buddhist Door. Yes, it's just a Buddhist Door magazine, but the article is non-Buddhist in nature. Mongolia launches national campaign to plant 1 billion trees by 2030. Now, they've been planting trees all along, but this is a new campaign, and that's pretty amazing, a billion trees. The campaign is part of Mongolia's efforts to reduce the impact of planet-wide climate change. Oh, I knew they were going to bring that in. And to bolster the country's contribution to achieving the UN Sustainable Development Goals. With a total land area of 1.6 million square kilometers, only 7.9% of Mongolia is covered by forests, while some 77% has been subject to desertification and land degradation. Public-private sector partnerships would be formed to focus on reforestation, forest management, and pushing the tree planting program forward. So despite the climate change thing, I think it's a good thing. For years and years, Israel was the only country on the world that had a net gain of trees year after year. I mean, they went in there and the place was barren. And these Jews went in there in the late 1800s and they started to take care of the land, bring it back, restore it. And, you know, what they did first, you had the Ottoman Empire own most of the land down there. And they said, these stupid Jews, we're just going to charge a bunch of money, way more than the land was worth. And the Jews were willing to pay it because it's their ancient homeland. And so they paid these exorbitant prices and went down there. The land was worth nothing because it was just barren, if you know the history of how that happened. And so they went down there and they started draining the swamps, okay, getting the rivers to flow once again. And they started planting trees by the thousands and by the thousands and the hundreds of thousands and the millions. And the land is now, once again, almost like the Garden of Eden, you might imagine. Okay, and all of a sudden, everybody wants the land, right? They went in there and they sacrificed their lives and dysentery and typhoid and malaria and all of these diseases, and they did all this work. And of course, once somebody works hard, somebody else wants to take it right from you. Happens all the time in America, happens in the Middle East with a little piece of land that nobody thought would ever be productive again. There you go. But now Mongolia is going to be doing this, and somebody's going to come in and say, wow, is this place great? It's not grasslands anymore, and they're going to want to take it from Mongolia. The book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Zero Hedge, this is very cool. New aerosol ammunition to protect Russian battle tanks from U.S. Javelin missiles. You got a battle tank, you got a missile, there's usually not much competition there. The battle tank does not survive. So they've developed a anti-javelin missile defense system, the 3VD-35 protective aerosol ammo. It's not aerosol like you spray on your face or in your hair or anything. That's not it. Okay, it was developed by the Central Scientific Research Institute of Precision Engineering, which is part of its Rostec company. It's caliber is 76 millimeters with a length of 290 millimeters and a weight of 1.8 kilograms. Temperature range of the ammunition is from minus 50 degrees centigrade to plus 50 degrees centigrade. That's a very wide range. The main purpose of the new device is to protect Russian armored vehicles from strikes into the most vulnerable upper hemisphere, which has a smaller armor thickness and is generally not covered by dynamic or anti-cumulative protection. When a threat arises, the 3VD35 protective ammo is fired in the direction of the enemy's attack and creates an aerosol screen that fools the enemy's precision-guided munitions guidance systems. In a way, it makes the armored vehicle invisible to the guided projectile, knocks it off target due to its presence of light and heat-reflecting particles, kind of like what you would think of the anti-torpedo stuff that submarines send out, kind of the same thing, but in the air. The product is designed to protect equipment from high-precision weapons with laser, optical, and thermal guidance systems. It covers the equipment from both high-precision aircraft weapons, barrage ammo, and from third-generation anti-tank missile systems. When such protective ammo is installed on a battle tank or other armored vehicle, the developers claim that it would become essentially invulnerable to high-precision and very expensive homing missiles such as the U.S. Javelin and AGM-114 Hellfire. So it's interesting. You got this very expensive missile that's going in to destroy a tank, and you've got this thing that doesn't cost that much that can potentially deflect it. So we'll see if it actually works. Mail online. Black Mirror's killer robot dogs become a reality. Terrifying four-legged bot with a 6.5-millimeter sniper rifle on its back is unveiled at the U.S. Army trade show and can precisely fire at targets three-quarters of a mile away. You know these little dogs they have now, these robot dogs that go around air bases and all kinds of places? They now have a robot dog that has a rifle on its back that can take you out from three-quarters of a mile away. That's serious. That's not a good idea either. You get some kid that's, got responsibility for this thing that is angry at his wife or something, and he starts shooting people. This is not a good idea. The four-legged robot is equipped with a special-purpose unmanned rifle pod. The robot can be instructed remotely to load, unload, and shoot its armament. It's a dangerous world. Yeah, I'd say so. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the Book of Revelation prophesies of. So let's see how that's going. From the Epic Times. Billionaire supermarket owner warns, and I brought this up several weeks in a row, I'm bringing it up again for you, food prices will go up. Now, this is the owner of a giant supermarket chain, and he's saying it's going to happen. You need to start at least saving. Talking about that, look at this. Once again, they had 2-for-1 cans of food at Publix today when I did my shopping for the flowers and for other stuff for you guys to eat in a few minutes. So they had some peas and they had some three bean stuff, all from Green Giant, and they have some whole kernel sweet corn and some mushed kernel sweet corn. And so I brought one of them in here for you, which is the whole kernel sweet corn. And if you get the question at the end, yes, if you get the question at the end of the sermon today, you will get this Green Giant whole kernel sweet corn with no salt added to put into your pantry. In case the economy collapses, you can take care of your whole family for 3 weeks with this one can. Yes. So there you go. Okay, so get ready for that, but here we go. The owner of a New York City supermarket chain predicted the food prices will increase sharply in the coming months, with some increasing 10% in the next 2 months. John Katsimatidis, I guess, the billionaire supermarket owner of Gristiti's and D'Agostino's Foods, warned, I know that's a big mouthful for me, I'm sorry, warned that food giants such as Nabisco, PepsiCo, and Coca-Cola will prioritize raising prices on products, adding that the trend will not drop anytime soon. Katsimatidis cited rising inflation and supply chain bottlenecks that are currently plaguing supermarkets and other retailers around the U.S. Katsimatidis then cautioned, I see food prices going up tremendously because food company CEOs want to be ahead of the curve, and the way they're doing this is they're dropping all promotions. They are dropping low moving items. Well, they didn't get this. I got a promotion for you this morning. Okay. But he says, they're dropping the promotions. They are dropping low moving items. Why give away something when you don't have to give it away and you make more margin? Castamitides asked. So I think that now these companies are going to have record profits in the third quarter. So he sees their profits going up at the same time the prices are going up, and then the prices are going to go up again after that. Okay, so this is bad stuff, and we just need to be ready for it. I'm not a prepper. I'm not one of these guys that panics over things, but to have food on the shelf, because once this happens, people are going to go in and they're going to clean out the shelves just like they did at the beginning of this thing last year. From Fox News, flashback. Oh, no, he couldn't have said this. Biden blamed food shortages under Trump in 2020 on a lack of leadership. And guess what? That was when we had there was no shortage except on toilet paper. And that was because people panicked because of something that happened that shut down the entire economy for a couple months, right? We don't have that now. We've got everything that should be working properly, and he said that. He said we don't have a food shortage problem, we have a leadership problem back in 2020. Well, we do have a leadership problem now. That's a fact. From AP, Japan Prime Minister says Fukushima wastewater release cannot be delayed. Japan's new prime minister said the planned mass disposal of wastewater stored at the tsunami-wrecked Fukushima nuclear plant cannot be delayed despite concerns from local residents. I feel strongly that the water issue is a crucial one that should not be pushed back, Kishida told reporters after the tour. The government and TEPCO announced plans to start releasing the water into the Pacific Ocean in the spring of 2023 over the span of decades. They're just this nuclear water. They got to do something with it. They're going to send it out to the ocean. The plan has been fiercely opposed by fishermen, residents, and Japan's neighbors, including China and South Korea, you think? Those Japanese. Oh, I'm sorry. My wife's here today. Oh. Okay, from watchers, farmers in California abandoning their fields. Okay, I mentioned this last week that they weren't planting their fields. Now they're just abandoning the ones that they had planted. Farmers in California's San Joaquin Valley are abandoning their fields due to drought that resulted in water allotments cut by a third. Farmers in this region, reportedly the most productive agricultural region globally, grow 250 different crops on 17% of the irrigated land in the United States. As of October 12, 2021, 100% of the state is in some form of drought, with 93% in severe to exceptional drought conditions. They are getting some rain in that area now, thank the Lord, but I don't think it's enough to take care of these poor people that have lost their crops. 87% in extreme to exceptional and 45% in exceptional drought. Everything in the state, 93% of it is above exceptional drought. Epic Times, U.S. drug overdose deaths reached record high of 96,000 in the first 12 months of the pandemic, says the CDC. 100,000 people died from drugs. What's that?
More than COVID?
Well, I don't know, because the numbers with that are so skewed by people, you never know what's going on. Deaths from drug overdose in the U.S. jumped nearly 30% in the 12-month period ending in March 2021. Weasel Zippers, fully vaccinated DHS Secretary Mayorkas has COVID. Mail Online, fully vaccinated Representative Glenn Thompson tests positive for COVID and is admitted to Walter Reed. Those are both fully vaccinated, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, the state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. Mail Online, overdose deaths in New York City rise by 36% in a year, as state officials order New York Police Department officers not to intervene when they see addicts shooting up in public. Let them die. Mail Online. Philly becomes first major U.S. city to end pulling drivers over for minor traffic offenses, a tactic which opponents say disproportionately affects black people. So you have a minor traffic offense or somebody that's doing something they shouldn't, you just let them go. It never works, too. Every time they introduce one of these, whatever that particular issue is, whatever type of crime, it goes up exponentially. It's happened every single time. Huffington Post. If you have a mood disorder, yes, you may now be eligible for a COVID booster. Yeah. The CDC added depression and schizophrenia to its underlying conditions list. If you got those, you're COVID susceptible. From the New York Post, Texas bill makes trans students play on sports teams according to birth gender. Good job, Texas.
Yes.
Breitbart, Instagram censors biologists for posting evidence showing biological men are stronger than women.
Oh, really?
He posted the evidence and they...
Shocking!
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Greenwich Times. I'm sure you heard this. If not, I thought I'd just throw it in there so that you will know it. Rachel Levin, openly transgender health official to be sworn in as four-star admiral.
Yes. Yes.
Man, our administration is absolutely insane.
Amen.
Okay, some other news from around the world. And please be sure to check out the Superior Word Sermons. You're going to get a lot better information, a lot more uplifting and saving information when you watch those sermons. I will say this. I've had a couple people over the years, maybe more than a couple, but at least a couple people, have emailed me or talked to me personally, and they said, I didn't know I wasn't saved. I used to watch a lot of prophecy updates, and I didn't know I wasn't saved until you started telling us to watch these sermons. And then I realized I needed Jesus.
Wow.
Okay? This is an important issue. You got people that are watching these things, and they watch lots of them, and they don't even know who Jesus is personally. Okay, Zero Hedge. Aluminum shortages next as magnesium supply dries up. This week, the largest U.S. producer of aluminum billet used to make automobiles and building supplies told customers and business associates that output capacity might be curtailed in 2022 due to a lack of magnesium supply. In the last several weeks, magnesium availability has dried up, and we have not been able to purchase our required magnesium units for all of 2022. Difficult to source supplies of raw materials and soaring energy prices are adding to the headwinds. The latest surge in industrial metals will continue to pressure inflation higher. So this just affects everything else. It's all, everything just keeps going and going. So much for the Fed's transitory narrative. Higher costs will push up prices for new cars and other products made of aluminum. If you look around here right now, there's probably 8,913 things made of aluminum that you would not even expect. Now, that's not. That's brass, so you can forget that, okay? But we got lots of stuff made out of aluminum right here. Like the Lord's Supper things, those are aluminum, okay? The thing that's holding up the camera back there, aluminum, all right? Oh, yes, we got aluminum shaft there. We got aluminum in the roof. We got aluminum all over. This tooth is not aluminum, okay? Okay, YouTube video. Biden blames Americans for supply chain issues. Yes, it's our fault. That's real leadership. You know, that is
leadership.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the malaise speech of Jimmy Carter. Remember that? Yes. We're in a malaise in this nation. Well, he sure lost that election. Zero Hedge. Empty Christmas stockings. Don't blame COVID. Blame California. Okay, you've been hearing about the trucking issue. And I was talking with my brother about it, and so I decided to research, and here you go. The conventional wisdom from the left is that COVID is the reason that shipping containers are in the waters off California with no stevedores or truckers available to take care of them. That's not true. It is the left in this nation, and you're going to find out how and why. The implication, of course, is that if people would stop being selfish and take the vaccines, the whole problem would magically vanish.
Nope.
That's nonsense. The problem is that California has passed two laws, one for climate change and the other as a sop to the unions that destroyed much of California's trucking industry. Add in woes unique to the industry and COVID payments that discourage people from working, and voila. The short-term problem is that California has passed laws taking trucks off the road. Carriers domiciled in California with trucks older than 2011, which is not that old of a truck, okay, or using engines manufactured before 2010, will need to meet the board's new truck and bus regulation beginning in 2020, which was, there you go. Otherwise, their vehicles will be blocked from registration with the state's DMV. The requirement is to purchase electric trucks, which do not exist, to shut down semi-tractor rigs that were non-compliant with new California emission standards. In effect, what this 2020 determination and settlement created was an inability of half the nation's truckers from picking up anything from the Port of LA or Port of Long Beach. Virtually all private owner operator trucks and half of the fleet trucks that are used for moving containers across the nation were shut out. In an effort to offset the problem, transportation companies started using compliant trucks with low emission. Now listen to what they're doing here. Listen to this. These compliant trucks that can be in California to take the products to the state line, where they could be transferred to non-compliant trucks who cannot enter California. However, the scale of the problem creates an immediate bottleneck that builds over time. It doesn't matter if the ports start working 24/7, they are only going to end up with even more containers waiting on a limited amount of available trucks. That's problem number one. Problem number two is California's infamous AB5, the law that, as a sop to the Democrats' beloved unions, killed the gig economy. Traditionally, the ports have been served by owner-operators, Oakley says, who are non-union. But under AB5, California has now banned owner-operators. All of this means that Biden's grandstanding about having the ports operate 24/7 won't make any difference. The greenies and the unions killed the infrastructure to unload those ships. With COVID restrictions, trucking restrictions, and free money landing the coup de grace that led to this situation. So there you go. Democrats, that's all you need to know. Put anything into their hands and they will destroy it. Amen. You know, I drive around here and I grew up here, obviously, in Florida. And I've seen Sarasota grow into a big community. And when I drive around, I look at the wide streets and I look at the, you know, we got shopping stores all over and we got all kinds of infrastructure. And this is the way all of America is. I've driven in all 50 states. I had to fly to two of them to preach at those capitals, but I've been in all 50 states and all over this country, everything is wide and open and well put together. And then the liberals take over and they literally are destroying everything about the nation that we have built. And it didn't take very long. You know, 200 years is not a long time, okay? And yeah, we made mistakes along the way, and we've had to stop for wars and things like that. But we have built something that actually works and that has been productive. And it has brought everybody up. As, Kennedy said, a rising tide raises all ships, right? Everybody's been benefited by this. The poorest people in the nation are better than most of the middle class in other nations around the world. And yet they whine and they moan that they don't have. And all they want to do is take more. And this is the problem. Anytime you have the left do anything, they will destroy what people. And I'm not saying the right is good. I'm just simply saying that the left is bad.
Right.
They're bad people. From Zero Hedge. Evil. Zero Hedge. Brace for price shock. Americans' heating bills to soar up to 50% this winter. Now, that won't be the case in Florida. Even if it gets really cold, we just wrap around a blanket for a day and then it's 80 degrees again. But
praise the Lord.
Yeah, the Energy Information Administration warned this week much higher heating bills are coming this winter. According to the IEA's October Winter Fuels Outlook, nearly half of U.S. households that warm their homes with mainly natural gas can expect to spend an average of 30% more on their multi-year high bills compared with last year. The agency added that bills would be 50% higher if the winter is 10% colder than average and only 22% higher if the winter is 10% warmer than average.
Watch, they'll run out.
No doubt. They have got this nation so messed up. I don't know how these people get out of bed and can put on their socks in the morning. They don't think anything through to its logical conclusion. Well, yeah, some of them have a real agenda to do this. I'm talking about the ones that are believing this.
Yes.
Epic Times. Interior Secretary Haaland tells wind industry wind turbines may soon line U.S. coasts. Yes, the proposed sites would include the coast of northern and central California, the coast of Oregon, the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, right off Siesta Key, we're going to have wind farms, according to these people. Okay. And then where did I say? The Carolina Long Bay, the Central Atlantic, the New York Bight, and the Gulf of Maine. Never mind that they kill thousands and thousands of birds, each one of them, every single year. Now put that out where the birds are migrating 15 miles off the coast. You're talking about, yeah.
We just set up under it and get food.
Absolutely, yeah, get your food and boat it back home. That's right. I mean, these people don't think anything through to what's going to be the repercussions. Zero Hedge, $100 million border wall discarded in field. You ought to see the photos of this. While Biden still pays contractors to not build it. Miles of fence laying out there. Okay, video has emerged of miles of discarded heavy-duty steel fencing left to corrode in a field, even though the Biden administration is still paying contractors who were brought in under Trump's presidency to build a border wall. The fencing, thought to be worth more than $100 million in taxpayer money, was captured on video by a drone in Far, Texas. There are estimated to be 10,000 steel panels just sitting waste on the ground, enough for hundreds of miles of wall. Not only are contracted security being paid to guard the materials, with which nothing is being done, but as former chief of the Border Security Patrol Rodney Scott outlined last week, the Biden admin is still paying contractors who were supposed to build the border wall up to $5 million every single day,
wow,
though all of the construction has been halted. It's okay. We got people coming into America. Bill Malugin at Bill Fox LA New Thread. According to Border Patrol documents provided by a source, the federal government has released over 70,000 illegal immigrants into the United States since August 6th. August 6th to, this is a week ago, so, you know, 2.5 months, 70,000 people been released into the U.S., including 31,977 released via parole, which means temporary legal status, eligible for work permits. 94,570 released via NTR since 3/20. New York Post, midnight runs. Biden secretly flying underage migrants into New York in the dead of night. Plane loads of underage migrants are being flown secretly into suburban New York in an effort by Biden's administration to quietly resettle them across the region. The charter flights originate in Texas, where the ongoing border crisis has overwhelmed local immigration officials and have been underway since at least August. Every single day, they've been flying these planes at night since August. Last week, the Post saw two planes land at the Westchester County Airport, where most of the passengers who got off appeared to be children and teens, with a small portion appearing to be men in their 20s. Westchester County cops stood by as passengers whose flights arrived at 10:49 p.m. Wednesday and 9:52 p.m. Friday got off and piled into buses. Some of them were later seen meeting up with relatives or sponsors in New Jersey, or being dropped off at a residential facility on Long Island. A Post analysis of online flight tracking data suggested that around 2,000 migrants nabbed after sneaking into the U.S. from Mexico have arrived at the airport outside of White Plains on 21 flights since August 8. So this is happening all over the place with many flights all at night to hide what they're doing. The clandestine nature of the operation raises questions about how the White House is dealing with surge in unaccompanied minors. They questioned that lady in the White House about it, and she actually admitted, yeah, we're doing this. Unbelievable. Okay, who said it? Opportunity is missed because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. No. You're really close. It begins with a T. Thomas Edison. Yeah, opportunity is missed because it's dressed in overalls and it looks like work. Okay, got a Lesrick here for you. There was a promise by Trump and his Pence to take cash, make a wall, start a fence. Sleepy Joe now says no. Building such is our foe. But to contractors, pay we dispense. Yep. Okay, I got some irony here for you today. I got three of them. Mail Online. Lottery winner, 57, is found drowned with $45,000 winning ticket still in his wallet. That's ironic. It's sad, but Mail Online, baffled patient discovers that her entire doctor's office has gone home for the night after they left her alone in an exam room for over 2 hours.
No!
She got out and walking around. Where is everybody? I want to meet that doctor. Okay, last one. You all know what happened this week. This is irony. Alec Baldwin at Alec Baldwin in 2010. Alec Baldwin in 2010 says, I wonder what it's like for police to wrongly kill somebody. Mr. Anti-Gun himself ended up killing somebody this week. He didn't do his due diligence checking his gun, and he murdered somebody. Okay, now if he was in the Old Testament times, the Avenger of Blood would come and seek him out, and that would be the end of him. But I tell you something about Alec Baldwin. These people stand on Hollywood movie sets, and they make hundreds of millions of dollars. They point guns, and they act like they're special people when they have no idea what's going on in this world. They talk against guns. They rail against guns. But it's okay for them to have guns and to show off how. I hope I saw something today that 10,000 people have petitioned Hollywood to stop any guns being used in movies, and I hope that that goes through, because they will tank. That will be the end of the Hollywood industry, and good. We don't need those people.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, the really stupid things that you say, they come back to bite you someday, right? Okay, such is the world in which you live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.